you know, I just love the fact that Jesus goes for the one person that needs a touch. Do you know that? Have you read that in the Bible? Jesus left everybody else to go and find the one that needed a touch from him today. And you might be the one, you're thinking, I just feel there's a battle going on with somebody here. They're going, I really need prayer because there's something I need breaking. There's something that I need changing in my life. It's been going round for a while. And I'm not sure if you've come out yet today. It's an opportunity for you. Is that you, young lady? Come on. Do you want to just sit down there and pray? That's great. So I haven't preached for a little while, which is nice for you. I think the last time I preached was Mission Week and on the Mission Day. So I'm talking about riding the next wave. Do you remember that? Do you remember about putting our left hand on our head? Let's put our left hand on our head. Taking off the mindset of the world, putting it down. And taking our right hand and putting the mindset of Jesus on our head today. Come on, put the mindset of Jesus on with your right hand. We want you, Lord, to be Lord of our life. Amen. So if you're new and you're not picked up on our series, I'm talking about the dove, the Holy Spirit coming. We're inviting him into our lives. We want our lives to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want our lives to be transformed from the inside out to become more like Jesus. The message that I'm carrying is that Jesus wants his church that he is building, not that I'm building or Pastor Emmanuel or the leadership are building here. We're not building a church. He is building his church. He is building the kind of church that he wants to have, not what other people want to have. We are not a church that tries to please people to get people through the doors. We want to please one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Our worship today was for the audience of one, which is Jesus. And so we are inviting the Lord Jesus Christ in this season to be number one in our life, for us to be devoted to him, for us to believe what this word says and to apply it to our life. Because I believe the church the world outside is not looking for a church that is in within the four walls, that's a polished service that we can broadcast and we can do everything really polished. Church isn't interested, the world isn't interested in that. The world isn't interested in really what we have to say unless we can back it up by how we live. How we live and what we say. Walking the walk is more important sometimes than talking the talk. People out there, this broken world, need authentic, something authentic to believe in. And we have the message of Jesus Christ, which never changes. Amen? Never changes. And it's an authentic message, and it's the only this message that will change people's lives that we have. We can't just consume sermons and go home and say, oh, wasn't that wonderful today? I feel really full up today, and then come back next week. What we do, how we live, is really important. So I've said that we are not settlers, we are pioneers. We are not settlers. Pastor and I and Emmanuel were talking the other day. We're not taking our foot off the pedal because we've done the mission now. Oh, well, let's wait until next year. We can't do that because there are lost and broken people that need Jesus right now today. There is somebody that will pass away today every 2.7 seconds that goes to a lost eternity. They need Jesus, and we have the message. We need a personal revival. So the next wave is where God has called us to be spirit-filled. Can you say it? Radical. World-changing. Bold. Unafraid. And uncompromising. And I'm going to keep saying it because it's the message I've got. I had two things happen to me this week. One that's never happened to me before in my life. I want to share it with you. I thought it was exciting. And the second thing that really upset me, and I was telling Esther about it the other day, and I'm going to share that with you too. So two things that have shaped a little bit of this sermon today. I introduced with you the last few sermons that we're called to be a contagious person. Say to the person, you're called to be contagious. Contagious. No, I'm not talking about COVID now. Where our influence spreads rapidly, where we live out clear biblical principles, where we are authentic believers. We need to take the mind of this world off and put the mind of Jesus Christ on all the time. Because the mindset of this world influences the church very powerfully, and we must not allow that to happen. You see, you and I are called to be passionate worshippers of Jesus. Passionate, spirit-filled worshippers of Jesus. When people see that in their lives, they're going to see something that will change their lives forever. People who carry the very presence of God beyond the walls of this church into a broken, hurting, and lost community. We are supposed to be so marked by the reality of Jesus that when we go into the broken situations in this world, the broken people, the lost people, see a glimpse of Jesus in us. It's a poor reflection, I know. It will always be a poor reflection this side of heaven. But they glimpse something of Jesus when we reach into their world and we share the gospel and the love of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. I've said, as contagious people, we are to be a people of grace, where we show grace. And this needs to be a place of grace. And this is the culture that we're building here. For the whosoever who comes through the door can find Jesus. We are called to be compassionate enough to feel the pain of our community. When something happens in our community, we feel the pain. When we went through a situation in Woodrow, and some of our people from Woodrow here and are linked, when a young lad who was quite broken and lost his life, we were compassionate in that community. We break when people break. We are radical enough to believe that the gospel still transforms lives. Some people don't believe the gospel is for today. We teach that here. You will hear us teach that here. It is only the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ that can change people's lives. Amen. This is what we hold dearly, we hold high. We need to be courageous enough to step into situations where other people choose to ignore it, but we see it and we take action. That is why we do some of the outreach stuff that we do. That is why some of you, for the first time ever, on Mission Week, went out on the streets and knocked on doors and led people to Jesus. Because you came out of your comfort zone. And I said before that mission these very words. When was the last time that you got out of your comfort zone and did something for Jesus? And many of you did. Many of you go, okay, I'm going to have a go. And you did. And God miraculously used you. And that's just the start of what he wants to do. We need to be unashamed about speaking the name of Jesus in culture around us who do not want to hear the truth. They'd rather hear lies and not the truth. And we've got to be unashamedly speaking that truth. To be courageous, to not be fearful, but to keep speaking out. And I know some of you, you're speaking out the name of Jesus, and you're getting backlash from it, and you're getting people that don't like it. And they won't like it. But we've still got to be courageous enough to do that in the times that we are living. We've got to be compassionate to stop for the one. Look for the people that other people are walking past that are ignoring. And the Holy Spirit goes in your heart, I want you to go and speak to that person. Oh, not me, Lord. Send Pastor Emmanuel. He loves that. Compassionate enough to stop for the one, because Jesus is interested in the one. And we need to be uncompromising enough to stand firm in the truth while overflowing with grace. So when people shout us when we're sharing the good news of Jesus and stand right in our face, we still show them the love of Jesus. I remember once, and I'm not proud of this, but it's true. We were out on the streets outside St. Stephen's, and this guy kept stepping in my face. He says, the Bible isn't true, the Bible isn't true. It's all a bunch of lies, the Bible isn't true. I'm trying to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and I'm getting a bit annoyed. So I said, well, the Bible says the wringing of the nose draweth blood. If you do not move out of my face in a minute, you're going to find out that the Bible is true. I'm not proud of that, but I did say it. Okay. They did move. Fortunately for both of us. The Oasis family, I believe, will be known for grace, compassion and genuine care. We will try to love people and walk alongside them. We'll try to encourage them. We'll try to help them grow. We want this place to be a place of grace, to be a safe place where people can feel that they and can be honest about their struggles, about their difficulties, about their problems, about their challenges. To come and feel, I can find help here. I can find people who won't judge me for what I have done or who I am, but will at least listen, and where I can be prayed for. This is why our prayer times that we have are so important, and we will continue to do them, because people need to be able to be prayed for. The great physician is waiting here today to heal broken lives. Let me tell you, if you look around this room, you might look and see to people think they've got it all together. How come they've got it all together and I haven't? I know most of you. I can tell you the truth. Most people haven't. Okay. Most people have not got it all together. They might look like they have, but they haven't. Do you know where the third most popular place is where people wear a mask? Where they want people to think more highly of them than they are? Where they only want to think the best? Do you know where that is? It's in church. It's when they come to church. And you look at somebody and you know they're broken, you say, how are you doing? Go, I'm great. Oh, it's been a wonderful week. And inside, they're broken. Because they don't want people to know what kind of week they've had. They don't want people to know how they're feeling. They don't want people to know that you said to somebody, the ringing of the nose draws blood. People wear a mask in church. I want to say to you today, take the mask off today. Church, help this to be a place where people feel safe enough to share how they feel and take the mask off. Because that is the kind of church that Jesus is building here. Do you know what I love about the gospel of Jesus? Is we don't need to pretend. Do you know why we don't need to pretend? Because Jesus knows everything about us. He knows exactly what we've done this week. He knows when we've lost it with people. When we've said things or thought things or done things which we shouldn't have done, which we've tried not to, but we find ourselves doing it. And then we come to church. Jesus knows exactly the kind of week we've had. He knows when we haven't been authentic. When we've told people how to live their Christian lives but not lived it ourselves. Yet he still loves us just the way we are today. Isn't that wonderful? And this is a place where people can come and find Jesus just as they are. And we want people to come just as they are. And the most beautiful thing about Jesus, one of the things that I love so much about Jesus, is he does not, he accepts us just as we are, but he loves us enough not to allow us to stay where we are. He gives us a way forward. He brings three things, I think, which are beautiful. As we surrender our lives to him, he brings forgiveness. So many people carry guilt. I wish I'd never done that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I behaved in that way. Come to Jesus and he forgives us. He brings healing. Healing of a brokenness of body, mind, soul and spirit. And then as the dove comes and we invite him in, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he transforms us. And that's our journey. And that's who we are. And that's what we do. Because it's the kind of church that Jesus is building here. There's a lovely verse. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. Can we read that? My son, give me your heart. But actually it says, give to me your heart. This is a message for someone today, because as I was reading this scripture, I'd never fully understood this scripture. But the scripture is saying, my son and daughter, give to me your heart, just as you are. Just in your lifestyle, whatever you're doing, whatever's happening, I want you to come and give me your heart. I love you unconditionally. And maybe you need to hear that today. God loves you unconditionally. Oh, he can't love me the way I am. Yes, he does. Absolutely, he does. Jesus sees beyond the smile. He sees beyond the mask. He sees beyond the pretense. And he knows everything about us. He knows our struggles. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings. He knows our fears. He knows our struggles. And he still says, my son, give to me your heart. In other words, come to me. And you know what the most beautiful thing is? God is not looking for perfect people, because you can't get in. If I put a notice over the door, only perfect people allowed in here, there'll be nobody. Not even me. Not Pastor Emmanuel. We won't be able to get through the door. He's not looking for perfect people. What he's looking for is surrendered hearts. Can you say that? Surrendered hearts. Jesus today is looking across this room as people are watching us online. He's looking for surrendered hearts. He loves everyone deeply. But because he loves us, I want you to listen to what I'm saying now. He doesn't want sin to keep us in bondage. He does not want sin to keep us in bondage. When we wear a mask, we don't allow the Lord Jesus in. Sin can keep us in bondage. And the Lord Jesus does not want that. Listen, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin that destroys the people he loves. God hates the sin that destroys the people he loves. And he loves you unconditionally. He does not love the sin, because he hates what destroys your life. And only he can set us free. And that's what he's doing, and that's what he's going to do. So today, I want to ask you, do not bring the polished version of yourself. That I want everybody to know how great I am and how things are. Come as you are. Let him do the transforming work that only he can do. So, if the Oasis family is going to be the kind of church that Jesus wants to build, that attracts people, it must be a place where we don't feel we have to pretend. Can I just say, stop pretending? Can you stop it today? Can you choose to stop pretending that everything's okay in the garden and everything's okay, and allow Jesus to come and surrender your life? It's so important. If you have been down here for a few times and you're not sure about Jesus and you're not sure about the Christian faith, but you know you're living a life of pretense, you don't have to do that anymore. You can go through the door with a completely different life. When hardship comes, when prayers seem unanswered, when illness, loss, or disappointment strike, that's when the body of Christ should come together, not further apart. We try and help carry one another's burdens. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. And we remind each other that we never walk through life's valley alone. We won't mention the football team that sings "You'll Never Walk Alone" in this place. But there's a football team that sings that. They got it from 1966, actually. No one in this church has hurt alone. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? No one in this church should hurt alone. They shouldn't. They should feel that they can come and share. And we work together. Can you imagine walking into a hospital in a, let's say, a man in a pinstripe suit, looking very dapper, and walks into A&E. And the lady behind the counter at A&E, when she finally speaks to you, says, what's the matter with you? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm having a really good week. Yeah, I'm great. And the lady goes, well, what are you doing here then? This is for people that need help. Sometimes people do that in church. I'm fine. Don't need help. And inside they're crying out. This is a hospital for broken people. It will always be a hospital for broken people. Say, well, church is for people that need a crutch. Yeah, that's true. Church is for people that have got problems. That's true. And this church will always be a church for the broken. The church cannot be a showroom. Andrew's got a brother-in-law who's got a showroom. Some of you have been there. Anybody been to his brother-in-law's showroom? Aston Martins, very posh cars. It's a showroom for everybody to go, oh, isn't that wonderful? This church is not a showroom. It's not a showroom to show how good we are, how brilliant we are, how holy you are. It's a place for broken people, where broken people come. And that brings along a lot of mess in church. Because, you know, broken people don't do things very well. And sometimes broken people break things that we don't want to get broken. Does that make sense? They come in and they bring their brokenness and it just upsets everything. God, we could have more time worshiping and listening to Pastor Robin speak now. Brokenness brings broken people with a mess. But the good thing is you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to Jesus. You don't have to say, well, I've got a whole list of 10 things that Pastor Robin has said. Do this before you come to church and you will be accepted. Come as you are and allow Jesus to clean you up and allow Jesus to clean people up. I believe that is the kind of contagious church that Jesus calls us to be. We are a church marked by grace, honesty, compassion and hope. What's behind my head? Don't say hair. What's right behind my head? The cross. That is a cross of grace. Every time you come into this service and you look here, and the worship team are leading worship, I want to remind you that this is a place of grace and you are a person of grace. Every time we take communion together, remind us that this is a place of grace. The early church grew through suffering and hardships. You won't find that the world likes that. But we have to embrace it. Hardships and suffering. These things help us to understand what it's like for people in the world that are suffering such terrible things. There are people in rooms in their houses today who think there is no hope for me anymore. I've tried everything. There is no hope. Grace, the grace that we show, this place of grace will bring hope to people. And there will be people that will still walk on this earth, which wouldn't normally do, because they will take their lives because they found that this is a place of grace. There are people you meet this week that need grace. They need to hear the undiluted gospel message, but it needs to be given with grace. We need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And this is so important, that this is the church that God is asking us to be part of, because that's what he wants to build. It is really important for us. I was meeting with someone from church today, this week. They'll know who they are. But as I was praying for them as a family, I had a picture of some big, tall trees. In California, there's the redwood trees. Does anybody know them? 350 feet tall. Amazing things. If I've never been to see them myself, but you go in there and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these trees. But you know, their roots are so shallow. How on earth have they survived all these years with thunder and rain and storms? And this is the key. Their roots, they may be shallow, but they intertwine under the ground with each other tree. Every tree mingles, their roots join together. They become seamless. So when the winds of life come, they hold each other up. They help each other. And that's a picture that I think God wants for us. It was a picture I gave to a family here of what God is doing with them. But for us, we may not have really deep roots, but we've got roots. If we intertwine them with each other, we'll be strong. The winds will come. The storms will come. The tornadoes may even come. But we will stand together. God never intended us to stand alone. When someone goes through a difficult time, and I've seen this so often here, so I'm not saying we should do it because we're not. We're doing it, but I'm just giving this an illustration. We ring people up. We take them out for a coffee. We turn up at their house when they've got no food with a bag of food. We invite them out. We talk with them. We let them know that they are not on their own. While I was preparing this message, something happened to me that's never happened before in my life. Do you want to hear it? Yes. Some of you do. Do you all want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. So in front of my desk, if you've seen it, there is a desktop, and I work on my laptop. This is my laptop. I'm writing on my laptop. I'm thinking about this sermon. I'm writing in it. And I knock the mouse on my desktop. It's never happened to me before. And previously, I'd been on our church Facebook, reading some of the Facebook information. And a reel comes on our Facebook, a picture of Jesus. And this is what it said. And it came out in an audible voice. It's not the voice of Jesus. This is on the video, okay? Whoever gives even a cup of water in my name will receive a reward in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Well, I think it is. I get an audible voice from somebody that's supposed to be Jesus. It wasn't Jesus, just an image of him. I'm thinking about the things that God's calling us to be, and God says that through that video. I think he's saying something. And I was so amazed. That's never happened to me before in the way that happened. The Oasis family should be a place of grace where nobody hurts or heals alone. In the church, we run a Kintsugi course. Anybody been on the Kintsugi course? Put your hands up. Okay, we've got a few there. Esther and Elaine are running it, or just finished running a Kintsugi course. Kintsugi is based on a Japanese art where if you have a valuable bowl and you break it and drop it on the floor and break it, They don't throw it away. They mix it with gold and they join it together so it becomes beautiful. That broken vessel becomes absolutely beautiful. Kintsugi allows God to put people back together again, and the broken bits become the places where God is glorified most in their life. The very thing that broke them, the very thing that destroyed them, God takes together and makes something beautiful to bring glory to his name. This is what God is doing here. God is making something beautiful. It's not a mistake that we do kintsugi, but there's more in it that God is wanting to do with us. I'm not going to preach anymore because I've spoke such a long time. And we're going to pray for some people, and we've got communion to take yet. So, my son, give to me your heart. My daughter, give to me your heart. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. It may be you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, and you have the opportunity to do that today. You might be watching online, you may be watching later, maybe watching right now. You may be in this room. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. Don't worry about the children making a noise. It doesn't matter. This is for you. I also want to give the opportunity for you today to say, I've not been a person of grace. I've not always walked the walk I've talked, but I want to be. I want to facilitate making this place a place of the church you're building, where you, Lord, will build a place of grace. And I want you to use me to help build that place of grace. Sometimes, Lord, my attitude's been wrong. Sometimes I've looked at somebody and said, the wringing of the nose draweth blood. And it's not been the right response. If that's you in any way, with every eye closed, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. I'm not going to determine which is which. Just going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm allowing you to take this time now before we pray for other things, because Jesus comes for the one. He comes for you. Will you surrender your heart to him today? Maybe your heart's become a bit hard. Will you surrender right now? Would you put your hands up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So there's a number of hands up and hands been up. I'm just, put your hands down. I'm not here to embarrass you. But I want to pray for you. Father, I ask now, Lord, as your word touches our heart, that we become a people of the word that responds to the word, that is not ashamed of the gospel, but will apply it with grace and mercy as you would have. I pray for those that want to give their life to Jesus today. I ask, Lord, that as they do that, their life will be totally transformed. They will be forgiven of their sins. They will have a fresh start and a new start. And Lord, I ask today in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you minister now into each of every one of those lives. That there will be no guilt in this room, but Lord, there'll only be freedom, knowing that you love us exactly as we are. Nothing is hidden, but you don't love the sin and the sin that destroys us. So Lord, today we honour you and we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name.